We're going to step away from the St. Patrick's Day stereotypes today to talk with author Patrick Hicks. He's writer in residence at Augustana College. His poetry collections include This London and Finding the Gossamer and Adoptable. His short story collection is called The Collector of Names. His novel, The Commandant of Lubezech. Hicks is the child of an immigrant. His mother was born and raised in Northern Ireland. He joins us now via phone from Sioux Falls. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Lori. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome back again. As always, we love to have you on St. Patrick's Day. I was looking at my Facebook feed today, and it came up. It was a year ago today. We sat down and talked with you as well. So thanks for coming
back.
Well,
I should start off by saying Bronach na Filia Porach, which is how you say Happy St. Patrick's Day in Irish.
Wonderful. All right. So I'm looking online at a piece that you wrote for the Huffington Post recently, and I'm wondering if we can start there. Do you want to start with that piece?
Sure.
Because
I lived in Northern Ireland during the Troubles because my mother was born and raised in Northern Ireland. I became an Irish citizen about 25 years ago, and I'm also very proudly an American citizen as well. And I moved over to Northern Ireland during the Troubles so I could understand that part of me better. And while I was over there, I was confronted, of course, with the political violence and the political reality of what was happening in Northern Ireland, where people were quite literally, you know, murdering each other because of difference in political views. And with what's happening in the United States now today, people are very sensitive about, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? And it just reminded me of a mindset that I haven't experienced for about 25 years now when I first moved to Northern Ireland. And I'm not saying that we're turning to violence, but I'm aware that people are kind of sniffing around to find out what your politics are. And, so the article is about that, essentially.
I liked that sort of notion of people asking you questions and sort of seeing your response. And I think you're right. That's definitely something that's happening today. And I don't know if that's, do you think, so people aren't offending each other? Are we seeking out people who are like-minded? Are we just tired of talking about politics, so we're hoping to avoid it altogether? What do you think? What do you make of that?
Oh, wow. That's such a good question. And, maybe it has something to do with this part of the United States where a fairly reserved kind of people, I'm from Minnesota, so we talk about Minnesota nice, and maybe there's a reluctance to sort of talk about politics, and, maybe we'd rather just sort of avoid that and be pleasant with each other. And there's much to be said for that. It's very commendable. I mean, I really appreciate that. But I also think that we are becoming so ghettoized in our political thoughts in the United States that it's easy to surround yourself with people that think like you do. And I think this is contributing to the overall problem. And this is one of the things that I wrote about in the Huffington Post article, because in a city like Belfast during the Troubles, you had a Catholic neighborhood and a Protestant neighborhood. And it was very rare for, almost unheard of in the Troubles, for, say, a Catholic to go into a Protestant area. I mean, it was physically dangerous, but there's also the sort of mental danger of crossing that political border. And so my article in the Huffington Post is encouraging the readers that we need to start crossing political borders more and listening to each other. It doesn't mean we have to agree, but we need to listen and talk.
Give us a little history lesson about the Troubles and what exactly it's because you say it's not just that, it's not a religious conversation entirely. There's politics behind it. So
yeah. With Irish history, it's where do you start? I suppose because Ireland was absorbed by the United Kingdom, by England, centuries ago, and Ireland was the only country in Europe that was made into a colony. And because of that, we had the famine, and we can certainly talk about that. But Ireland only gained its independence in 1921, and the Southern Ireland, which is the Republic of Ireland, it's mostly Catholic, and Northern Ireland is mostly Protestant. So the border was established in 1921 between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, and it still exists to this day. Well, the troubles, and I'm condensing this in ways that I find uncomfortable because there's so much rich history here and painful history here. But the troubles flared to life in Northern Ireland in 1968 when the Catholics there, they were being denied the ability to vote and they couldn't own homes. And they're watching what's happening in the United States with the civil rights marches in our own country. And they start to march for rights, and it quickly escalates into violence. And there was violence in Northern Ireland from 1969 to 1998.
Hmm. And what made you want to go toward that instead of stay away from it? You mentioned, you know, just wanting to understand that part of yourself, but there also has to be more to it than that.
Yeah. Wow, that's also a really good question. There's many ways I could answer that. I'll go with this one. Who knows? You ask me tomorrow, I might answer it a little slightly differently. But my mother took me home to Northern Ireland, her home, when I was 16. And this was in the middle of the 1980s when the troubles were really, very unpleasant. You know, tourists stayed very far away from Northern Ireland. So when I was 16, it was very eye-opening to me to realize that I had been raised with this enormous privilege in Minnesota, where I didn't have to worry about violence, and we're driving through the streets of Belfast, and I see all these armored motorized vehicles, and the military helicopters are in the sky, and the British Army is walking around with their machine guns, and that was very eye-opening to me. So it wasn't just that I was learning more about my Irish history. I was learning something about the world that I hadn't known before. So I wanted to return to that when I was fully an adult so I could understand Ireland, but also what it meant to be an American abroad.
Hmm. That impacts or influences or somehow is a part of all your writing to this day, do you think? Do you see it throughout everything that you write?
I think there's a thread for sure, because I'm always interested in the voice of other people. As a novelist, certainly my job is to try to get into the heads of other characters and to empathize with other characters and to maybe help the reader see the world through a different set of eyes. That's any writer's job. But it was very, very useful for me to go to Northern Ireland because I quickly realized that there were two versions of history, the Catholic version and the Protestant version, and they were both correct, and they were both volatile. And I learned very fast in Northern Ireland that no matter what you say, there'll be someone that is going to disagree with you because you have this duality of narrative history.
What's the message for Americans today, then, that that you would really want people to consider?
Oh, wow.
In this context, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's really grand. And if you read my article,
I'm really grand,
Post, I don't really come to any easy answer that I could offer up in 30 seconds, other than I think that we need to talk to each other and listen to each other more. And that's going to be painful and hard, but I worry that we, you know, we're red state, blue state, and the other side is immediately demonized. And that's not how our lives work. I mean, I have family members that are of another political persuasion. And we get along, and we can do this. We get along with each other on a social level. But when we start to talk on a federal level, it seems like, this wall goes up where it's just no one's talking to each other.
Hmm. Patrick, will you read a poem for us today? You're our Moment in Sound poet today.
Okay, yes, I'd be happy to. And I decided to choose, not surprisingly, an Irish-themed poem. And when I was living in Northern Ireland, I got a chance to meet someone who was in the Irish Republican Army, and he actually started to really employ the use of car bombs in Northern Ireland, and he since became a peace activist. So this particular poem is me walking with him after peace has found Northern Ireland. It's called The Inventor of the Car Bomb. It goes like this: pack Semtex around a fuse, latch the trunk shut carefully, then park beside a soft target. This is the hardest part, which is made easier over time. The last step is to stroll away, hands in your pockets. Glass and rubble will hail down onto a spray of blood and ribcage. The plumage of oil smoke will geyser up from torn metal. Burning tires, those hellfire halos, will flame around the ripped carcass of a Ford. Then, silence, as the ambulance winds awake. Someone was the first to do this, and now, every day, they pop all over the world. They detonate inside my television. The car bomb was perfected in Northern Ireland, and I know the man who nightmared it up. He showed the world how it could be made into a virus, an epidemic of explosions, a daily shattering. Tall and lean, he's a peace activist now. In Derry, he holds his Guinness to mine, Sláinte, and we drink it in. We lick our lips and talk about how peace, quiet peace, has finally found Northern Ireland. We leave the pub waltzing on booze, and he points us down a moon-slick street. There is an empty van beside us. He tells me exactly how much Semtex can be packed into the back. We move away. Our feet click off the concrete like a timer.
Patrick Hicks is writer in residence at Augustana College. His poetry collections include This London, Finding the Gossamer, and Adoptable. His short story collection is called The Collector of Names. His novel is The Commandant of Lubezech. You can read his recent essay on HuffPost and find him on patrickhicks.org. Patrick, thanks so much for that, and thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.